You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
We are in week four of our 9-week journey through the fruit of the Spirit. Good fruit. And if you've missed out on any of the sessions and any of the messages, you can go onto our YouTube channel, find them there, or go onto the app. You can find the podcast there too, our website. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Let's go have a wander through Galatians 5, starting in verse number 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh along with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit. I remember as a kid growing up watching Saturday morning cartoons, and there was this one cartoon called Tom and Jerry. You remember Tom and Jerry? Those were the days. Now, very regularly on Tom and Jerry, what would happen is there would be a dilemma, a decision to be made. And then appearing on the shoulders of the character, there would be a little devil. He'd be like, do the bad thing. And then on the other shoulder would be a little angel. Don't do that. Do the right thing. You guys remember that? And so there's this dilemma going on about which voice am I going to listen to? Can I be honest with you, church? The older I get, the more I'm aware that there's a devil on my shoulder and an angel on the other. I promise you. Let me give you an example. Often in the evenings, when I drive home, I drive past a golf course. Now, as I drive past the golf course, very regularly, there's someone about to tee off. Someone about to putt for par. Someone about to make a chip shot. And as I'm driving, the little devil pops up on my shoulder. He goes, beep the horn. Do it. This is what horns are made for. They were designed for moments such as these. And I'm telling you, I'm a 42-year-old man. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I'm a man of the Lord. But I get so tempted by that little devil to toot that horn. And I must be honest with you, church, sometimes he wins. Sometimes he wins. You know, there are times when I win that battle and I don't beat the horn, I feel really good about myself. I feel really good that I've exercised some self-control. And then the times that I do beat the horn, I feel even better. It's like, it's amazing. I don't know if anyone else, I just can't help myself. I'm like, push the horn. This passage says that there is this war waging, this battle waging between the Spirit and the flesh. It's this constant battle in the Christian journey where we are fighting against the things of the flesh and trying to live according to the ways of the Spirit. And this journey of faith is a few parts. Firstly, it's the supernatural empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life to live a way that only He can produce in your life. It's a supernatural empowerment. You don't have to conjure up the gifts. You don't have to conjure up the fruits. You don't have to try and make it happen. There is an empowering of God to produce in your life the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The second part is an intentional denying of the flesh. So I get to walk in supernatural empowering of the Spirit, but I also have to deal with my junk and actually deny the flesh. And when the devil says, beep the horn, don't beep the horn. And then there's this other part, which is a deliberate cultivation of the fruit of the Spirit. So there's an empowering of the Spirit of God to live His way. There is an intentional denying of the flesh, which is calling me to live a different way. And then there is a deliberate cultivation and development of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. If I want more of the fruit of the Spirit, one, I need more Holy Spirit, but two, I need to actually engage and lean in and make sure I'm putting some time and effort and energy to growing those things of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit today is patience. I know. Like I felt that in the room. There's patience. The Greek word translated patience is the word macrothumia. And macrothumia, it means a patient restraint of anger or response. In other translations, you might have it in your Bible where you read it and it doesn't say patience. It says long-suffering. And the word long-suffering means long-suffering. 4 years of Bible college for that one there. Yeah. I'm joking. Long-suffering. It's this word, it speaks to a holding back, a patient restraint. It's an exercise in control when you are provoked or offended, or when you're upset, or when you're frustrated. It is a restraint, it's a holding back, it's a control to and choosing patience and not to retaliate when you are wronged. That's what patience is. So the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is long-suffering. It's a patient restraint of anger, response, judgment, or action. So the fruit of the Spirit being patience means I'm leaving room. I'm not jumping straight in, I'm leaving room. To better understand this, let's look at the negative. Let's go to the negative. The fruit of the Spirit is patience or long-suffering. So the result of the flesh is to be impatient, impulsive, easily angered, quick to blow up, having a short fuse, losing your temper, firing off that email when you are all frustrated and worked up. I know none of you do that. Sometimes I do. Saying things that we regret, and he get this, withholding the mercy to others that we demand for ourselves. Listen, parents, you're going to need to show long suffering towards your children. A patient restraint of action or anger or response. You need long-suffering if you're going to be a parent. Spouses, you're going to need to show long-suffering towards your spouse. And my wife said amen. It's part of the journey. We have to allow room for one another. There has to be this patience. Teachers, you're going to have to show long-suffering towards your students, especially if they're in years 0 to 5. Pastors, I don't know what you said, but I amen. The pastors need to show long-suffering towards their congregation, and congregations need to show long-suffering towards their pastor. If we don't allow patience and long-suffering to be produced in our lives, then you'll end up frustrated at everyone all the time, including yourself. That's why you need the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. It's long-suffering. I wonder, friends, how's that fruit today in your life? How's your long-suffering? How's your patience? Are you just always frustrated at everyone around you? Or do you need a little bit more of this fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, to be produced in your life? This morning, I want to really quickly show you what patience allows room for in your life. We're going to go on a little journey. And I pray that you and I would be a people that, one, let the Holy Spirit do his work and produce this in us, but two, actually intentionally go after the things of the Spirit and deny the ways of the flesh. First one is this: patience allows room for God to move. If I'm frustrated and I dive right in, guess what? I've just taken up the space that God wanted to occupy, the space where God wanted to move. For all the parents out there, you will understand what I mean when I say when it comes to getting your children ready in the morning, there are two speeds. One, on rare occasions, there is extreme readiness. At 5:30 a.m., they're at the foot of your bed, backpack on, uniform on, shoes on, teeth brushed, hair done, lunch made, and you wake up and you go, who are you and where is my child? The other more common is extreme slowness when it comes to getting your children ready. Like, it is painful, painful. You're trying to get things moving. This slowness is just unbearable. My brother sent me this Instagram reel the other day, and it was of Sir David Attenborough talking about a sloth. You know the sloth? And the caption above, it said, all children between 8 and 8:30 a.m. on a school day. Like, this amazing creature is half blind, half deaf, and this is about as fast as it can move. It was fantastic. You know, sometimes when it comes to God moving, I've realized he either moves really fast or really slow. When it comes to God doing stuff, often it's like it just happens, like God moves, or it's like, come on, God, where are you? He's taking his time. But if we don't have long suffering and patience developed in our lives, the temptation will be when God doesn't move when we want him to, that we step in and fill the gap. That we step in and go, you know, this isn't working, God. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to make the plan. I'm going to make this happen in my own way, in my own strength. And in doing so, you take away God's best for you and you bring in your okay. And you end up with this Abraham, Sarah, Hagar kind of situation, where it's like, God's just taken a little too long for me and I don't have the patience for it. And so I'm going to step in. I'm going to make it happen myself. Friends, you got to have some patience. Got to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering. Why? Because you've got to allow room for God to move. Allow room for God to move your life. Think about this in the context of your relationships, the people around you. Because remember, long-suffering is about a patient restraint of anger or response when you're wronged, or a patient restraint when you're offended. So when that person upsets me and that person wrongs me, the question is, am I going to respond out of my flesh and just fire back or jump in or like just give back to them what they've given to me? Or am I going to get just increasingly frustrated at that person who never quite hits the mark or never really comes up to the standard? Or am I going to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, and say, God, I'm going to give you room to move here. I'm going to give you room to move in this situation. Rather than me stepping in, I'm going to take it to God in prayer and say, God, I need you to do what you're going to do, and I need you to move in this moment. There have been countless moments in my life where I have been upset or offended or hurt by somebody, and I'm like, I'm diving in. I'm giving them a piece of my mind. And then, praise God, the Holy Spirit shuts my mouth. You know those times where you're about to say something, you're like, ooh. You know, the Holy Spirit's like, don't say that. It happens to me more regularly than it should. And it's in those moments where I stop, and rather than giving a response out of anger or frustration, just allow, okay, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to trust you to do what you want to do. And in doing so, my long suffering gives room for God to actually come in and move and heal and minister. And my experience has been that God always brings a greater measure of healing and restoration in that space than I could ever create on my own if I was impatient. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience. It's this confident waiting and trust that God will move. I pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of patience we produce in our lives, that we would leave room for God to move in those situations rather than us making a mess of it all the time. The second thing it allows room for is patience allows room for people to grow. It allows room for God to move, and it allows room for people to grow. I love a well-manicured lawn. I love, like, if you're in this house and you keep your grass good, I like you. You are my friend. You belong in this church. God bless you. There is great reward in heaven. If you're that person who lets your lawn go all over the place, I'm praying that the Lord would move in your life. There is deliverance needed, friend, and it's coming. I love it. Like, I love a good manicured lawn. I'm not the best lawn keeper myself, but I do try to keep it nice, and I love it. But when we moved into it, we built our first home a number of years ago, and it was a new build, and so there was no grass down. So I had to sow the grass seed to let the grass grow. And I'm not the most patient man on the planet, and I've shared this with you before. I will pick up the jug before it boils, before the switch flicks off. It's boiling, it's ready. I'm just not going to wait. I will stop the microwave with 1 second to go. I'm not waiting. I'll do the second coat of paint before the first one's dry. I'll do that. It doesn't bother me. I don't like to wait for things. And so you can imagine my frustration as I'm waiting for this grass to grow. The seed is down. It, like, every day, multiple times a day, I'm walking out going, It's not growing yet. It's not there. It's like, and then you see these tiny little sprouts showing up, and like I was getting so impatient. You know what would not have been helpful in that situation? That I got upset at the grass. What's wrong with you, grass? Grow. Are you stupid? Why are you patchy? Why are you growing there and not there? I put the same seed down. Why are you long and you short? And what are you doing? Nothing. It wouldn't be helpful if I started stomping on the grass and going, come on, wake up, stupid grass. What the grass needed from me was some long suffering. What it needed from me was some patience to water it and to give it the nutrients it needed and give it the room to grow. And grow it did. I wonder if you and I afford the same room to those in our lives to give them room to grow as well. Or when they're really trying and they're just starting out, or when they're just having a go, we're like, we're quick to cut them down, or we're quick to shut them out, or we're quick to stomp on them, or we're quick to criticize them, or we're quick to do something, rather than realizing that this patience we could afford them is actually the room they need to grow. When someone underperforms, or someone hurts us, or someone wrongs us, what's our response in that moment? Are we coming out of the flesh, or are we coming out of the spirit? Because if we just gave them some room, and we just gave them some patience, perhaps God would move and they would grow. Here's a question. Who's still growing in your world? Who's still growing near you? Your kids are still growing. So maybe they need a little bit more patience, mum and dad, because they're just kids still. And I know they frustrate you. They frustrate me. Not your kids, my kids. But maybe rather than my frustration, what they need is my patience, because they're still growing. And what about that person in your small group who drives you mad? I know that's not your group, small group, it's probably my small group, but they frustrate you. Hey, they're growing. God's still moving and they're still growing. So rather than cut them off or shut them out, could we give them a little bit of room and trust that God's going to move and they're going to grow? Ben, you guys can join me. Colossians 3:13, I love this verse. It says this, make allowances for each other's faults. That is not the kind of verse you want to hear. Just make allowances for everyone's faults. No, people need to be right and perfect and good in my world. What they say, hey, have some patience for each other. Give some room, like have a bit of long suffering for one another. Have some patience. Like make room for each other's faults. Make some room. Okay. Make allowances for each other's. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Here's what I've learned. I've learned that people aren't necessarily bad, they're just broken. Churches aren't necessarily bad, they're just full of broken people. And what we need, each one of us needs, is the room to grow. Is that patience for, I wonder if we just had a bit more patience for one another. I wonder how much more we would flourish and grow. I wonder if we just afforded that little bit of grace to each other along the way, that maybe that person that is frustrating you and keeps missing the mark, and maybe they just need some more time for God to move, and then they might grow to that place of maturity and being formed by God. I'm so glad for a church that has long suffered me. I'm so glad for a church that's shown me patience. I write a lot of sermons, right? So that's a big part of what I do, write a lot of sermons. And sometimes when you write a lot of sermons, you get a little bit like, I got nothing in the tank. Like I'm clutching at stuff. So what you do, I'm letting you behind the curtain here. What we do is we go back and look at old sermons, because we're like, maybe I'll get some inspo, or maybe there's something I could refresh and bring it, because it's still the Word of God, it's all good. Can I tell you, whenever I do that, I look back at my messages and I go, what was I thinking? I'm yet to find a good one. Like I look back on them and I'm like, this is so bad. I cannot believe I preached that. I mean, in the moment, it was probably all right, but in hindsight, I'm like, dude, what was wrong with you? What were you on when you wrote that sermon? But I'm so grateful for a church that was patient with me and gave me room to grow. And some of you will be happy to know I'm still growing. I'm so thankful that there was room to grow. That there wasn't, when I preached a few bad ones, there wasn't like, oh, you're done, you're out. So let's show some grace. Let's show some time and some space for each other to grow. To grow and flourish in a church, you're going to need to have the fruit of long-suffering patience. You're going to need it. You're going to need it for one another. You're going to need it for yourself. You're going to need it for the people in this room. Patience is all about affording grace to those around you who miss the mark. Rather than responding out of our flesh and our frustration, we respond with patience, trusting that God will move and they will grow. God will move and they will grow. So I wonder, here's my question. I wonder who in your world needs a little more patience from you? Who in your world is God calling you to afford a little bit more long-suffering? Why? Because God is still going to move and they're still going to grow. Maybe it's those in your workplace. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it is your kids. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe your colleagues, your co-workers. Maybe your small group. Who is it that God is asking you to exercise a little bit more of the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience? The good news is He'll produce it in you. That's the good news. The good news is you don't have to try and figure it out and conjure it up. He will produce it in you. I don't know about you guys, but as we've been going on this journey through the fruits of the Spirit, God is like heightening my awareness to the outworking of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. There has been so many occasions where what I've preached, I've had to practice, and it's been such a revelation. It's been such a good thing because it's making me align in greater measure with the things of the Spirit. Can I pray for us? Can I pray for us that we would be filled with the Spirit and that we would produce in our lives a greater measure of patience? Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. And Lord, I pray right now for each and every person who's here. I pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would connect and be aligned and be filled by you. And that out of that fullness and connection with the Holy Spirit, Lord, there would be a supernatural production of your fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. Lord, that we would be a church that affords room for you to move, not for us to take it into our own hands and address it the way we want to, but Lord, maybe just to give a bit more room for you to move. And Lord, also give some room that others would grow. And maybe even, Lord, in our own lives, we're frustrated at ourselves. And maybe we need some long-suffering for our own failings. So, Lord, that we would know today, help us to have patience for ourselves, that you would move, you're still moving in our lives, and that we also would grow. God, I pray that we would afford grace to one another. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Just with your eyes still closed and every head bowed, I want to pray another prayer this morning. I want to pray for you today. Actually, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. If you're here in the room today and you're not right with God, maybe you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you'd be honest today, Steve, my life, it is far from God. I don't know him. I'm far from God today. Maybe you've walked with him before, but you've messed up, you've fallen away, and you're here today and you know God is speaking to you about getting your life right with him. The truth is, friends, God loves you. God made you. God's got a great plan for your life. We all mess up. We all fall short of his standard. It's called sin. Every single one of us has sinned, and there's a consequence for our sin. There's a payment that is due for our sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The payment due for all of your wrongs and all my wrongs is death. God in his grace sent his own son Jesus to a cross, and when he died on that cross, he paid the debt that you and I were due. Your debt, my debt, for our sin, he paid it all. And then he conquered death and the grave, and he rose again to new life. And he extends to every single person today grace, forgiveness, a new life that begins right here, right now. It's called being born again by the Spirit of God. God will make you a new person from the inside out. You get to walk into the plans that God has for your life He's got a great plan and purpose for you, and there's a great promise of eternity in heaven with Him. And if you're here this morning and your life is not right with God, I would love to lead you in a prayer. Will you simply place your life into the hands of God, trust Him for your salvation, and make a decision to make Him the Lord of your life? And I want to give you a few moments right now to weigh up that decision, because it's not one that should be done lightly. It's not one that should be done without considering what this means. And the truth is, it means that you die to yourself so that you can be made new in Christ. You give up control of your life and you hand it over to a God who loves you, and you follow His leading for you. And if you've tried it your way and it's not working, let me tell you, my experience is, you turn to Jesus, He's the answer. If you're here today and you want to make that decision, I want to pray a prayer. I'll pray this prayer out loud. You pray it with me in your heart. I'll lead you in it. Very simple. Say these words. Say, God, today, I give you my life. I know I've sinned and I know I've messed up, but I believe that Jesus, you died for me. So right now, I turn from my own ways and I turn to you. I ask you to come in and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my wrongs and make me brand new today. I choose from this day and this moment to follow after you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.